Ross. Sorry, y'all. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Ross this morning. We ask for your presence and for your power and passion to be with him. And we pray that what you've given him to be prepared for him to speak to us, that those would be living words to us, words that stick with us and that transform us and do their work. So we just welcome your presence in him and in this room. Amen.
Amen. So as we go into Holy Week, it's really pretty useless for you to understand Easter unless you understand what this means. The Passover, a smear of blood, the Passover. Useless because Easter has everything to do with this. And so I'm going to make sure we know and experience together the significance of the Passover. So the Passover comes from the book of Exodus, and it tells us how Moses was sent by God to Pharaoh to deliver the children of Israel that were held as slaves in Egypt. Hands up if you've seen a movie or a cartoon that's shown that. You know who I'm talking about. So this is what the Passover is. The Pharaoh, of course, was very obstinate. Had a six-pack, though. Very obstinate. He did not heed Moses. That's an understatement. In fact, he was rebellious against Moses and God. And it had a hardened heart towards hearing Moses' appeal to set the people of Israel free from slavery. So the stage was set, and it makes a great movie, for a showdown between Moses and Egypt and the people of God and God himself and the gods of Egypt as well. So it was really just like this epic battle in history. Now, there were many things that happened in this story, but the very final plague that really broke Egypt's back was a plague that God sent that would descend on the people of Egypt, and it would be the death of the firstborn of the Egyptian families and the firstborn sons of the land. But the angel of death was sent by God to kill, to really break the stronghold. That's what it was, breaking this evil stronghold of slavery. Was sent, but that angel of death would kill all firstborn children in Egypt, except for the people who had faith enough to believe what Moses said they were to do. And that was this, that if you are a believer, you could sacrifice an unblemished, spotless lamb, and with the blood that you got from the death of that lamb, if you put that over the doorpost, over the lintel of your doorway, the angel of death would not enter there and your family would be safe. So really, the blood of the lamb delivers you from death. Can you say that? The blood of the lamb delivers you from death. That's a very powerful thing. I mean, that's a very powerful thing. So some people treat this story like it's fiction, but it's fact. And to today, Jewish people still commemorate this event. It really happened. And every house that had this blood, the angel of death would pass over the house. So that's where we get the name Passover. Got that? Now, what's interesting, and I'd alluded to this before as we had communion, the lamb is not just any lamb. Now, today, as the Jewish people celebrate this, the Lord commanded that on the day of Nisan, and I don't mean the thing you drive, Nisan was in their calendar. Nisan 10 was the actual date, which happens 4 days before the Passover. Each household should set aside a young male lamb, which should be examined for blemishes, which if it's got a blemish, if it's got a deformity or something, it's disqualified. It has to be as perfect as possible as an offering to the Lord. So Nisan originally was a lot more than 4 days, but what happens, especially in the Old Testament days, when they took a lamb, they actually took it into their home and they looked after it. They bathed it, they befriended it, and became like their pet lamb. It wasn't just left outside. It was the Passover lamb, and it was something very special. Do you understand what I mean? Now, there was a purpose to this, because in this period of time, looking after and selecting the lamb and looking after it, getting ready for sacrifice, it allowed the family, each family member, to get attached to the lamb. That was like their pet. Has anybody raised a chicken and you really love it? And someone says, why don't we kill that and eat that for dinner? And people go, no way, that's my friend. You know what I'm talking about? In a way, that's what often happened with Jewish people. It was not an easy thing for them to sacrifice this lamb. It was something that meant something to them. And isn't that interesting as we think of Jesus' sacrifice? How did Mary feel when a son was being sacrificed? Quite different to the soldiers at the foot of the cross mocking him. How did all the Marys feel? There's three of them we could talk about that day. How did Jesus' brothers and his disciples feel? You know, how do we feel? It seems so unfair that something spotless and pure needs to be sacrificed. Doesn't it seem unfair to you? Some people are not Christians, that they say, how cruel is it for God to kill his only son? Have you ever heard people say that? It broke God's heart. So this lamb, this sacrificed lamb, it wasn't because they deserved punishment. It wasn't because they weren't loved. It's because they had a mission. Am I doing that, Gary? How? Well, if I don't know, I can't stop. So even though the entire nation was responsible for the death of lambs, each family had to apply the blood of their own personal lamb to the doorpost. Not going to the butchers and just buying one living lamb. It was their lamb that they had relationship with. So this Passover derives from the Hebrew word pasach, Passover, and refers to the sparing of an entire household from the death. It's a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover that we celebrate at Easter. Who was the lamb? Whose blood spares our life? Jesus. He had to die to redeem us from the curse that came to us through the fall of man of sin and death. So, right up to today, Jewish people celebrate the Passover, and it happens this week. The night, the meat of the sacrifice, when they did the Passover lamb in the first Passover, they actually took the meat from the lamb and roasted it. And they ate it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And they were eaten in haste because they were given a command that as the angel of death passed over them, that would be the end of their slavery and they'll be free to go. So they need to pack up everything and leave immediately. And so they roasted the lamb for the trip. They had unleavened bread. Does anybody make bread here apart from me? You know, you have to let it rise. It takes time, and then you've got to push it down and let it rise. They didn't have time for that. They had to go in haste. So the bread that they ate is what we call matzah bread or matzo bread. And when you eat that, it's completely flat. It's like a bit of cardboard, really, that's been rolled over by a steamroller. And then it's really like that, and you'll all get to taste it in a minute. What's going to happen is I want you to remember that they had to leave in haste. And they also ate bitter herbs because they didn't have time to cook those herbs. They just ate them. And so part of the Passover meal are things like the meat and the bitter herbs and the bread that was done in haste. Since the Jews had to be ready to begin their journey immediately after God smote the Egyptian firstborn sons, God's Passover actually brought deliverance and freedom. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus died on the cross. It was a breaking of the power of sin over all of mankind. It worked. And our freedom has been achieved by him. Isn't that great? That's what Holy Week's about. It's got to do with that. And so what I'm going to get you to do is we're going to do body ministry today. I'm not going to do all the preaching. I'm going to preach to one another today. Because, you know what, why should I do it? There are plenty of people smarter than I am in this group here today. Lots of you. Most of you. All of you. So, what we have around the peripheries, we have four tables. One, two, three, four. And I want you, and you can move the tables a little bit out if you want to, but just be careful, there's water and things on the table. What I want you to do is to gather in four groups, and there should be enough for about 30 people around each table. That should be about right. So sort of gather around the group. The first thing I want you to do is go to your table and sort of eyeball whether the next group is about even with yours. If it isn't, go over there. Just settle in there. And once you're around the table, I want you to get into groups of three or four people. Okay? And on the table, each group of three and four, there's a sheet of paper that I'd like you to pick up and then do what it says. So maybe when you're in a group of three or four, select a leader for yourself. Just point to the same person. Select a leader for yourself and then do what it says. If it says something in a loud voice, can you give me an example of a loud voice by saying Palm Sunday?
Palm Sunday!
Oh, I didn't hear any over here. You, just your group, no one else.
Palm Sunday!
Not bad. Good practice. Let's go to the tables and then don't leave because I'm going to do a final closing. So go to the tables, get in groups of three or four around those tables and pick up a sheet and do what it says. Further commanded, the Jewish people that Passover should be observed annually as a permanent reminder of the deliverance of Egypt. And also as a foretelling of the coming of Jesus Christ, who would not only save Jewish people, but all people. So you might be interested to know that unleavened bread from today is the only bread that Jews eat right up until the Passover. Also, and you'd like this, they were forbidden to do any work for these days. So the starting of Holy Week for the Jews for Passover was no eating of leavened bread and no work for a week. How many like no work for a week? That would be awesome, wouldn't it? But we're not doing that. Then at the Passover meal, this is the prayer that would be prayed. Can we say it together, please? We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord freed us with a mighty hand. Had the Lord not delivered us from Egypt, we, our children, and our children's children would still be enslaved. Think about that. Can we stand? Because we're going to pray ours. Let's say it together. We were slaves to sin and death, and if Jesus had the Lord not delivered us from sin and death, we, our children, and the children's children would still be enslaved. Amen? Amen? So, Father, I pray that we would remember that something had to die for us to be set free. That's why we ate that meat. Something had to die for us to be set free. And that something was someone, Jesus. May we remember that we too were enslaved to sin and death, many of us in fear and bondage because of sin and death in our life. And that was a bitter life. And Lord, we thank you that you've delivered us from that and are still daily delivering us from that. Thank you, Lord, for in your kingdom, emotions, tears, the reality of the things we face, both joys and sorrows in these lives, you do not disengage when we get emotional. In fact, when we get real with our emotions before you, that's when you visit us most. And Lord, thank you that you show up in sometimes unexpected and surprising ways. Even though we wait for a long time for the answer, like the slaves in Egypt, or like the Jewish people waited for a Messiah. Sometimes, but but then you suddenly appear and there you are. Lord, I pray that we would in this Holy Week reverence and worship and remember that we've been bought, that we've been rescued, that we've been held, and that, Lord, you do not delay. And we look forward to your second coming that will be very different this time. When the trumpets shall sound, the angels appear, all men and women will bow the knee. Your power and authority would be made manifest in an instant, the Bible says, in a twinkling of the eye. We look forward to that. And so, Lord, I pray now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your presence, your forgiveness, your guidance through this Holy Week for us as a church and a people. May we go out into this world bearing the good news that we've been redeemed and someone loves us. We've been rescued and someone has really paid a high price for that. Amen. You are free to go. Have a great week. Love to see as many of you here on Friday night, 7 o'clock, for our Good Friday service.